Amen. Wasn't that a good song? Yeah, beautifully done. Thank you all for singing for us today. We appreciate it so very much. Again, it's good to be in the Lord's house, and I appreciate the presence of everyone, and I do desire your prayers as I stand before you. My lesson today is going to be taken from Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just going to read 8 verses, and if you have your Bible and you care to follow along, I'd be happy for you to do so. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it will be for our good and for his honor and glory. And I want to turn to the 5th chapter of John, and in the 24th verse, I want to take my foundation thought for today. John chapter 5 and verse 24. And this verse says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I want to use as my thought for today, from death unto life. From death unto life. The Apostle Paul is the author of this book, and he addresses them. And he not only addresses the church at Ephesus with this epistle, but he is also addressing Fairview Memorial. He is addressing every church from the time that Jesus established the first church up until the last church that will exist. And he's not only addressing those who are members of local congregations of baptized believers, but he's also addressing every individual who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to pray for me as I try to bring this message today. I feel very strongly that it's needed. And I pray that those of you who are in our midst who are not saved will give special attention to the Word of God. Not necessarily to the way I delivered the message, but that you will listen to the words that I bring forth from the Bible, the Word of God. Now, this is somewhat of a metaphor, I believe, that the Apostle Paul is presenting. When he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We understand something about death. We understand that when the spirit leaves the body is left lifeless, no life in it. But we don't understand perhaps as much about the death of the soul. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, if the Lord will help me. Because of the fall, and when I'm talking about the fall, I'm talking about when the first man and the first woman fell into sin. They disobeyed God, and as a result of that, they became sinners. The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law. And so they sinned. They transgressed God's law, and they fell from that holy estate in which they were created. That was not an infinitely holy state, but it was a finite holy state. And so they fell. As a result of that, every person who has been born into this world has been born with a sinful nature. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, that for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, because all have sinned. There are no exceptions. You see, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 51 maybe, or maybe it's chapter 55. I could look it up, but I won't take the time. But anyway, the psalmist said that I was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. That means this: his father and his mother were sinners. And when he was born, he was a sinner also. He had the likeness of his mother and his father. And so all have sinned, the Bible said, and come short of the glory of God. And there is none righteous, no, not one. That's in our natural state, the way in which we were born. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says we have all gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And so we're sinners, and we're sinners by nature. When a baby is born, that baby is a sinner. It may be hard for us to grasp the idea that a little baby, innocent, never having committed a sin, is a sinner. But we are sinners by nature. And an innocent child, is under the protection of the blood of the Lord Jesus until they reach the years of accountability. They don't understand, when they're first born and the first several years of their lives. They have no comprehension of what sin is and the results of sin. But the time comes in everybody's life when they realize, that they are sinners. They are accountable to God. While they're babies, they are not accountable. They're not held accountable for their sins. But when you reach the point in your life that you understand, that you are a sinful person and that you are not right in the sight of God, that we call that the years of accountability. That's when you become accountable to God for your sins. And Paul explains that in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, I think in a way that perhaps all of us can understand. Paul said, I was alive once without the law. That is, I was not under condemnation. I had no guilt of sin because I was at that point unaccountable to God because I was not able to understand, that I was a sinner by nature. God demanded of me repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, I was alive, that is. I was not separated from God by my sins. But he said, the commandment came, and sin that was, in my nature, it became active. It revived, is the word the King James Version uses. It revived, and I died. I became separated from God because of the sin that was in me. I hope you can see that. God does not hold us responsible for sins when we're infants. But the time comes, and nobody knows what age that might be. We have some who become accountable at a very early age. They realize that they're sinners and they're not right in the sight of God, and they want to be saved, and they seek the Lord and get saved. Others, it may be later in life when they realize that they are accountable to God for their sin. So Paul said, I was alive once without the law. But sin revived and I died. I want to turn over there just for a moment and maybe get another verse out of that chapter, the seventh chapter, and this is what it said. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and it slew me. The commandment which was ordained to life, he said, I found to be unto death. God has a moral standard. A lot of people think if they just keep the moral law that they'll be all right. But you see, the moral law was not given as a means of salvation. It was given as a schoolmaster. It was given to teach us that we are sinners. If we're honest with ourselves, we will find that when we do something wrong, the law of God condemns us, and our conscience bears witness to that condemnation. I thought about Adam and Eve when they first had committed sin. They were afraid. They come to realize, their eyes were opened. And they realized that they had sinned against God. And so they tried to hide it. They hid themselves among the trees in the garden. But then the Bible tells us this. That God came in the cool of the garden of the day. And he called and he said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I was naked and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you done that which I told you not to do? You see, the commandment came. And the commandment condemned him, He did something that he was not supposed to do. Because of his breaking of God's law, he became afraid. Now, what happened was, he had a conscience even before he sinned. When God made us, he made us and he gave us a conscience. A conscience that would condemn us when we did wrong. And so when they did wrong, the conscience became active. It was activated. And he knew that he had done wrong. And it brought fear to his heart. And he tried to hide from God. And that's the way sin is, you know. You may have lived several years, you know, from your infancy up to this point, and you may have never felt the guilt of sin. But maybe even in this service for the first time, the Holy Spirit may move in your heart and cause you to realize that you need God, that you're lost and separated from Him. So Paul said that the commandment slew me, you know. It separated him from Almighty God. Now I want to go back over here just for a minute and think about this. I said I thought this was somewhat of an allegory. Because, you see, we understand something about physical death. But we maybe don't understand that much about spiritual death. But, you know, spiritual death is even more serious than physical death is. Because to be dead in your trespasses and your sins means that you have no relationship to God. You are without God, without hope, and you are in your sins. And that's the way Paul described to the church at Ephesus of their condition before they were quickened, before they were made alive. He said at that time, let me find that and read it if I can do so. Remember, he said, in time past, that you were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in this world. But he said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So that when they were dead in trespasses and in sins, they had no relationship to God. And it takes a relationship with God to become a child of God. And I want to emphasize this, if I may. You know, spiritual life, it can only be given by God and by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he explained it to Nicodemus like this. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God is the one who quickens us, who brings us out of the state of death and into the state of life. You see, he said, and you hath he quickened. Now that word quickened means given life or made alive. You were dead, but he gave you life. And this life is eternal life. My text that I use today, John 5:24, says, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That is spiritual life. That will never end. You were dead in trespasses and sin, separated from God, no hope whatsoever. But when he gave you life, it was everlasting life. And it was life that would never end and that would take you to heaven when this life is over. And he says that he quickened you, made you alive, made you alive. Well, I want to share something else with you. You know, in the life of Jesus, he raised three people from the dead while he was here in this world. He may have raised more, but there's, as far as I know, no account of it. There's three that we have an account of. One of them was Jairus' daughter. Now, Jairus, he was a ruler. He was a prominent man. He had a little girl. I don't know how old she was. The Bible don't say, but she is referred to as a little girl, a little daughter. And she got sick. And he went to see Jesus. He had heard about Jesus, the power of Jesus, what Jesus could do. And he said, I want you to come. I want you to heal my little girl. She's sick. And they started. Jesus said, sure, I'll go. I'll go. And they started. But before they got to Jairus' house, one of the servants came and said, no need to trouble the master. She's already dead. She's already dead. And Jesus said, don't fear. Have no fear, he said. And they went on. And when they got there, I want to turn to that because it's in the fifth chapter of Mark, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, fifth chapter of Mark, beginning at verse 35. And he says that he entered into the ruler's house. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And they said, thy daughter's dead. And he said to the ruler, be not afraid. He said, only believe. You know, I just read where Paul said, it's by grace that you're saved, and it's through faith. It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. And so Jesus said, fear not, just believe. And he suffered no man to follow him. He took Peter, James, and John. And he went in to the ruler's house. And when he was come in, they were weeping. And the Bible says the damsel, he said the damsel's not dead, she's just sleeping. Now death, physical death, is referred to in the Bible many times as a sleep. The body is all that's dead, and it is sleeping. The cemetery over here, you see, this is just a place for the bodies to sleep and to wait for the Lord Jesus to come from heaven. And he's going to come, and he's going to wake them up. Going to wake them up. But he said, she's just sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. There's people today that would laugh at the teachings of the Bible. You know, they just don't believe them. But I'm telling you that the Word of God is truth. And so he went in and he took her by the hand. And he said, Talitha. And I've always pronounced that Tabitha, and I was reading it last night. That's not Tabitha. That's T-A-L-I-T-H-A. But anyway, he said, Talitha, kumi, which is by interpretation, which actually means, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was 12 years old. I said a while ago, the Bible didn't say it. Does, don't it? 12 years old. And they were astonished. He brought her out of the state of death and into the state of life. The next one the Bible tells about is in the 11th chapter of the book of Luke. And this was a young man. His mother was a widow, and he had died. And they were on their way to the graveyard with him. They had him on a bier. And a bier is simply a platform that was built to lay either the body upon or a coffin, if you had a coffin. And they were carrying him to the graveyard. And Jesus met them. And we're reading the Bible, Luke chapter 11. I'm going to turn to that also because of the importance of it. And Luke chapter 11. Well, I said it was, and that probably is, but I just can't see it. Anyway, he met them, and the Bible says that he touched the bier with his hand, and he said to the young man that was dead, he said, "Arise." And you know, the Bible said the young man sat up and he began to talk. He brought him out of death and into life. The third one was Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. He had been sick. He died. They had sent for Jesus. He delayed his coming for 4 days. But when he got there, Martha said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. She had faith in him, didn't she? But he said, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that he'll live again in the resurrection at the last day. And he said, Martha, if you just believe, you're going to see the glory of God. And Jesus said, where have you laid him? And she took him to the place where Lazarus had been buried 4 days. And Jesus prayed. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me always. Every time Jesus made an intercession, I want you to know God the Father heard him, except the day that he died on the cross. That day, Jesus in agony, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That day, the Father did not answer. He did not respond. And Jesus died. But anyway, he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me always. And I know that thou hearest me even now. And when he had finished his prayer, he cried with a loud voice. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave. He had been dead 4 days. Now, why did I do this? Because I think, these were examples of Jesus bringing life out of death. And that's exactly what he does every time he saves a soul. He brings them out of death. And he gives them life. And life that will not end. I'm glad and thankful today that we have the Word of God and we have these verses of Scriptures. I'm glad that God loves us. I'm glad that God doesn't want us to die physically in the state of spiritual death. That's not his desire. He wants to make us alive. And the way he does that is by the power of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus speaks the word, the Holy Spirit of God brings life out of death. And the Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He lets us know when we're saved. You know, we're living in very perilous times. And none of us know what tomorrow holds. The Apostle James said, you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. He said, your life's just like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. The Bible says in the book of Job about those who die. And he said, they don't return to their homes. You know, they don't return to their homes. And those who have seen them in the past will see them on this earth no more. Death is coming to everybody, physical death. But God has a plan. God, through His Son Jesus, made a plan whereby those of us who are dead in trespasses and in sins can be made alive in Christ Jesus. And the life that Jesus lived in the flesh, He lived it so that we could have eternal life. I hope and I pray today, if you're here and you're lost, you'll realize the seriousness of being dead in trespasses and in sins. And I hope that you will have gotten from this message today the fact that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, can give you eternal life. He will make you a child of God. Write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And give you the assurance in your heart that you're saved, that you belong to God, and that nothing can ever separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And that you'll go to heaven when this life is over. What a wonderful promise God has made. I'm going to bring this to a close. I do want to give an opportunity for anybody that feels the need of God. You realize you've never been made alive in Christ Jesus. You're still dead in trespasses and sin. Your sins stand between you and God. But I'm telling you today, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. The Bible says this. I said I was going to quit, and I will after this. Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. And after He had taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer, He said, if you as parents know how to give good gifts to your children, He said, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give that's in the 11th chapter of Luke. That's where I got them mixed up, I guess, a while ago. But I want to share this with you. And this is what He said. He said, I say unto you, ask. You want to be saved? You want to have eternal life? Ask the Lord. Seek the Lord. And He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone, or will he ask If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? He said, or if he asks an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Well, we know that parents, you know, if their children ask something, we try to provide it for them, don't we? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask Him? I want to give you the opportunity today to ask, to seek, and to find the Lord Jesus, precious to your soul. It is important. It is important. While we stand and while we sing, will you come to Jesus? He can do for you what no other man can do. He can save you, give you eternal life. While we stand, while we sing, will you come to Jesus?